Welcome to Roguecast, the official podcast of Rogues Gallery. We'll talk comics for the week, as well as whatever news is on our pop cultural radar. I'm Randy.
I'm Nick.
This is Dave.
And now, on with the show.
Episode 340 of the Roguecast, recorded July 14th, 2021, Optimus Prime.
So, we're going to be talking about Black Widow later in the show. But we're gonna wait. We're gonna save that to later, so we're not gonna give any spoilers or anything like that.
And we'll make sure to warn you before we get blabbing.
But we did all watch it, and I think we all liked it to varying degrees.
Yep.
Me and Nick and Anna are gonna talk about it toward the end. We'll probably also talk about Loki because Loki's fifth episode was bonkers and amazing.
Yep.
But before we get to all that, we'll do our usual podcasty thing and talk about comics and some pop culture stuff
yep.
and other things like that. But yeah, I mean, everybody's thinking about Black Widow.
Well, you know, Nick was just saying that apparently had a good box office weekend.
Yeah,
it's, did like well, how much? 80 million domestic.
80 million domestic, 78 million like foreign, and then 60 million on Disney Plus
as a streaming, which is kind of crazy because that means it did close to as much on Disney as it did in theaters.
But if you combine the two, it beats any like release since, I think, Rise of Skywalker
for really?
First weekend opening. It toppled Fast 9 completely, wow. Which only made 70 million, I think.
Wow, you know, it's almost like I probably was is, wrong about the female action movies.
What you're saying is they destroyed the movie about family with a movie about family?
No, it is about, what's the Russian word for family?
Family. That's the best I got.
It's all about family.
But we haven't done our Fast and Furious crossovers. Fast and Furious and the Black Widow, I'm good with that.
Sure.
Well, there's been lots of the Black Widow is just a Mission Impossible, and we've all said Fast and Furious should easily cross over Mission Impossible.
Yes, yeah.
So, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. All right. So, as far as store news, this weekend is the big Magic pre-release. It is it's full.
Yep.
But
we did a test run of the technology that runs it
yes.
and scores it yep. and all that stuff. So
and things didn't immediately catch on fire.
No,
so that's
it mostly
good.
Works.
There was a few minor fires.
It's not bad. It works. But also, the Forgotten Realms set is coming out this weekend. And
right.
so people have been confused because it got dropped on Magic Arena last week. It was originally supposed to be released last week. And so people have been like, why don't you have it? Well, we don't have it because it's not out yet. But it will be on Friday. We can't sell boosters yet, but we will have set booster boxes for sale. It is a really cool set. If you're a D&D fan, there's a lot of little... I got... Last time I was playing on Magic Arena, I got Minsk and Boo.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy about that.
That's pretty cool.
I've got a Drizzt card. I've got Brunor Battlehammer. I've got, like, all those characters.
Did they make... who's the big magic user of the realms?
There's no Elminster.
I'm a little bit surprised.
Kind of surprised, too. No Elminster and... I think no, like Kelvin Blackstaff or some of the other notable.
You know,
like,
I have to wonder if
guys.
They're like, let's see how this does. They probably know it's probably going to do good, and will I do a forgotten return to the Forgotten Realms in another year?
If they do an Eberron set, they're definitely going to get my money.
Yeah,
of course, Eberron doesn't have as many like notable characters.
No,
they're, like not their characters are like the rulers of the world. They specifically did not make like adventurers and that kind of thing because it's not based on somebody's old campaign.
Right.
Whereas the realms, I think. A lot of those, like Kelvin Blackstaff and Elminster, I think those were there were player characters, and then they have Greenwood's campaign.
Oh, is that right?
I think Elminster is his character.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
basically him.
Yeah. So, we do have another Magic event coming up in August. August 20th, we'll be doing a Magic Mystery Booster Draft. They're doing the Mystery Boosters, which are super limited. They're doing a new Convention Edition, which has like
is this the Magical Mystery Tour?
It is the Magical Mystery Tour. there are not going to be a lot of them, so we're going to hold basically, I think, like two or three boxes aside. We'll have a few for sale for the shelf, but basically, if you want to get some of the Magic Mystery Convention boosters, sign up for the draft. We'll have the sign up for that starting soon, and it's going to be August 20th, which is the week after Free Comic Book Day, which is the next big thing, which is we're about a month out from. It's August 14th, and as y'all are listening to this, it's July 14th, so that's literally 30 days away.
That's crazy. Let's not do it.
All right, Dave says we're not doing it.
Let's take naps instead.
Okay, fair enough. So instead of Free Comic Book Day, we'll be napping.
That's it. I'll go ahead and make the sign for the door
yeah.
today. So
sure.
I'm going to get a jump start on
yeah,
that.
It's a great idea. It's like the line forms.
No, that should be fun. Again, I guess we haven't quite figured out how we're going to sort of staggered if we're going to have like sort of a limited number of people in store at a time, just so we don't get too packed in here. But we'll figure it out, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome.
All right, store news. What If got a new trailer and a release date. They're releasing it August 11th.
Yeah, so not too much longer.
No, I'm very excited. It's going to stick with the Wednesdays, like Loki's been doing.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked about it before, but What If, of course, is, unlike the others, is a cartoon. It's an animated thing. Do you know, Randy, how long an episode, like, are they half-hour episodes, hour episodes? Do we have any notion?
No ideas.
Yeah, they haven't announced any of that.
So let's see. So what are some of the stories that were glimpsed in the trailer?
What we do know is that Jeffrey Wright is voicing the Watcher. Yep. That's awesome. That he looks like Uatu. We know that they're doing a What If Peggy Carter was Captain Britain, basically.
Yeah.
She calls herself Captain Carter.
Yeah, she just
calls herself Captain Carter. Which is funny, because she's not a captain. I mean, Steve Rogers wasn't either, but...
Well, what was her rank?
She was Agent. Agent Carter.
Well, Agent doesn't say what the person's rank
is.
Right,
it's true.
She could have been a captain, or they're going to do it for this. It kind of makes sense. It's sort of like how they... as far as branding goes, just in that they want to, if they're going to make a figure that's, they want it sort of a unique name that won't be confused with other Captain Britain and stuff like that.
And they are going to make a figure because, as I can tell, they make figures of everything.
Yeah.
Marvel Legends are making a ton of the MCU stuff.
Yeah,
so I would expect
a
What If.
I saw you got the Loki with like a variant costume.
Yep,
basically.
Yep, his crazy little variant uniform, and
for once, when you say variant, you don't mean just a variant toy, like a different paint thing. No. You mean literally the jumpsuit where it says variant on it.
Yeah, yeah,
from the TV show.
It's hilarious. Did they do a line of covers for like a month to promote Loki? Maybe when it comes to Blu-ray or whatever.
Oh,
variant covers.
You know, I was just thinking...
It's a variant.
Yeah.
If they when they put it out... You remember how, like, sometimes... I can't remember if, like, The Matrix did this or what, but if they had a different character cover on them, and there was Gator Loki and Classic Loki and, you know, all of this...
They've done that with a couple of different movies over the years. They did this, that, I remember, with Reservoir Dogs, where you had to pick your favorite member. Yeah.
But everybody picked Torture Man, and nobody picked, I don't know, Mr. Shit.
The old guy, Mr.
Yeah.
Shit. Miss Minutes and Mr. Shit. they also, in the going back to What If, they're showing a one where T'Challa is Star-Lord, basically.
Oh, yeah.
There's one, looks like there's clearly some kind of Doctor Strange one. They're doing Marvel Zombies.
Yep.
There's the one that looks like Killmonger basically rescues Tony Stark becoming Iron Man.
Yeah.
Which ought to be interesting.
And I will say most of these people are voiced by their actual actors or actresses.
The notable exception is Robert Downey Jr. is not voicing Iron Man. You can tell because Iron Man sounds like fucking Jack Black again. It's just like Avengers. It seems like the people do that when they do their Iron Man voice, for whatever reason, they drift into Jack Black. I don't know why. And it does sort of sound like him, but it also sounds wrong. But yeah, it is. You hear it. It's the same guy. The voice. I don't think it's the same voice actor. But the voice actor did the Avengers Assemble cartoon way back when.
Oh, I remember.
He sounded like Jack Black.
Don't make me unleash with my repulsors, broski.
I mean, I get it. You can sort of see he's got that snark just like Tony Stark does.
Right, there's a sort of intonation that's like in the ballpark.
Right.
But you would think that for somebody as notable as Tony Stark, they could find somebody who was essentially a better imitator.
More like Tony Snark, am I right?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
School of Rock, more like School of Boot Jets. I don't know. School of Rocketry. Like boot jets or rockets. Get it? Get it? See where I'm going? Anyway.
So What If?
So What If?
We had some better jokes.
I'm very excited for this. I've always loved What If as a concept. They just put the trade of the...
This is going to be, as much as such a thing can be, in continuity?
Yeah, I mean...
Or that is to say, the Watcher will be there, it'll be true alternate worlds, and that, like, we're probably, if they wanted to do something in the live-action movies, they could end up going to one of these worlds at some point.
Well, that's what Nick said, as he indicated, like, all the voices are... They got all the names.
I mean,
like,
it's Chris Hemsworth, Sean Gunn, Frank Grillo, Jeff Goldblum, Karen Gillan, Michael Douglas...
Yeah,
Tom Hiddleston, Jimon Hounsou, Toby Jones, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it's all the names. They did
and
put
Peter
the,
Cullen.
And Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime.
Natalie Portman is apparently in it.
What if Loki was cool. Optimus Prime?
I mean, I'm sure that's a variant somewhere.
Sure. What if Thor was Optimus Prime?
Optimus Crime.
That's it. As I was saying, they did put the What If, the classic stuff back in trade this week. So volume one of that is back out, and the other volumes are going to be coming out. So if you want to read some of the original What If stuff, it is now available in print again.
What If was great. So
now, Nick, you came in on like the 80s, 90s What If, if
right.
I'm not mistaken.
I did. Yeah.
But it began in like the 70s
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I assume they're reprinting now, but yeah. like they should just almost reprint simultaneously both the oldest What If stuff and that relaunch of What If.
Yeah.
I think they should just reprint them as separate things because they're kind of different vibes. And some of the old stuff is probably going to feel too old school.
Yeah.
But people would probably read the stuff that, like, Nick was growing up with.
Well, I read, that's the stuff I read was in the 90s ones that had, what if Venom possessed the Hulk?
Yeah.
What if Doctor Strange became Lord of the Vampires and Punisher had to hunt him down? That was actually a really good one, but it's a weird
concept. What if Punisher killed Daredevil?
And then, of course, the classics one, like, what if Electro became survived?
What if Dark Phoenix had lived? What if we stopped killing off women in our settings?
Well, there's that.
It's cheap drama.
And unfortunately, I think What If is a great concept, but the last few, they started doing these weird specific, like, what if... And it was like just based on event stories, like
right, so
what if Wolverine was the enemy of the state? And I'm like, well, he was the enemy. That's not
right. Or they would just say, what if Planet Hulk? And then there would be like three stories that are like alternate Planet Hulk timelines.
Yeah,
like,
and I'm like, no, you take
pose
a, point.
A question.
Yeah, you
pose
take a, point
a question.
And you change it. Yeah.
It's gonna be like, that Killmonger Iron Man one is gonna be something like, what if Tony Stark didn't become Iron Man? But it's going to be like that. Killmonger will be the medium or whatever
right,
by which
right.
it happens.
What if Killmonger was a medium like in Ghost? What if Killmonger played the Whoopi Goldberg role in Ghost?
What if Killmonger played video games on medium level?
What if he racked up kills but only in Call of Duty? I killed people in every nation on Earth, digitally speaking.
I'm not a monster.
And also could get here and play you, T'Challa, in Street Fighter 2 Turbo for Who Rules Wakanda.
Smash Brothers or nothing. What other stories do we have, by chance?
Oh, you want to talk about What If for a while? All right. I have a story here called Larry Hama Likes Snake Eyes.
Yes, that is to say, the Snake Eyes movie.
Larry Hama, the creator of G.I. Joe. Or at least the good G.I. Joe.
Yeah, he's all for intents and purposes. He did the file cards
in
and
the
stuff
same
on
way John Ostrander is the creator of Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
the stuff that matters.
He defined it.
Yeah. So he's definitive voice. He's definitely the creator of Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
And he said he got home from a private screening of Snake Eyes, the movie that's coming out, surpasses his expectations by a lot. Much more of a martial arts film in the last two outings. Still brings in the Joes through Scarlet and Cobra through the Baroness. Very impressive fight choreography. The acting quality lends the subject matter much gravitas.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Now, you're going to expect that he's going to be kind of the nice ambassador.
Yes.
But I also don't generally... Hama's not, like, known for being a shill.
No.
You know, like, he ain't Stan Lee. even Stan Lee's technically not Stan Lee anymore. But Hama, Hama's not that guy. So, I don't think he's just like... I think he probably had a good time and probably was flattered to see some of his story elements make it in there.
Yep.
He did, like, you know, on the cartoon, Snake Eyes, other than when the more ninja-like toys came out, was barely a ninja on the cartoon. He wasn't even that big a thing on the cartoon.
No.
On the comics, he was, like, the biggest thing, the biggest mystery... not always, like, he didn't always headline the book, but he was definitely a driving force behind it.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I'm sure, like, some of Hama's stuff made it in, and that's very cool. And although I will need to see it because it's G.I. Joe. We've got a G.I. Joe podcast in the works.
Yep.
Probably going to have to see it.
Yep.
But admittedly, the ninja side is not my usual bag for it. But I think there's enough, it sounds like there's enough cool stuff percolating that I want to see it.
Yeah, I like the second trailer. I'm looking forward to it.
The second trailer did grab me definitely a lot more.
We shall see.
Yeah, I like Scarlet and the Baroness being in there, and what a like, how do you say that word? Nascent Cobra, or you know whatever is going on.
Yeah.
I imagine any little allusions they make to the rise of Cobra or anything like that will be pretty cool. So yeah,
Michelle Yeoh has been cast in the Witcher prequel series on Netflix. I don't know much about The Witcher.
You like The Witcher, right?
Yeah, I liked the original season, yeah. They just released a trailer for the next season.
Did you play the video games?
No.
So I guess, basically what I was wondering is she playing an original character or a character that's from the books and or video games?
I'm not really sure. I just know I like Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah. Are you going to watch it, Randy?
No.
Me neither.
Well, I'm going to watch it. There's an anime coming out for Witcher pretty soon.
I think Dave and I are both in the place of the wishing we liked The Witcher.
Yes.
But we both gave it a fair shot and it just did not connect.
Yeah. I watched over half the season, I think. Maybe the vast majority of it. Thought about ending my life.
I tossed a coin to my Witcher, and what they gave me was a boring show.
And I've watched it twice, so I don't know what show.
Right. Well, that's good. I mean, I have tons of people on my friend's feed who love Witcher. That's their favorite
all
thing.
All low IQ people. Witch a coin to your tosser.
Yes.
That was my suggested tagline, and they did not use it.
No. That's the British version.
No, but like Michelle Yeoh is a badass. I imagine she will add some nice energy to that show. Yeah. I'm going to bet she's going to play somebody who is neither fully friend nor enemy.
Interesting.
That is my prediction.
Michelle Yeoh, is she going for like total dominance of all people? She was in Star Trek. She plays a noble character in Star Wars.
Wait, was she in Star Wars?
Michelle Yeoh. No, that's not Michelle Yeoh. Yeah. That's, wait.
No, it's not. It's the it's person Melinda who plays Melinda May. Yeah, it's...
Michelle Yeoh not been in the Marvel Universe?
Yes, she has. She was one of the Ravagers. She was one of the original.
Oh, that's Guardians. Right. That's
pretty
right.
Cool.
Yeah. She's not been in Star Trek, though?
Trek, yes, not Star Wars.
Oh, okay. I thought she'd been in Star Wars as well.
But she's also, of course, been in the Bond franchise. She has a foot in a lot of stuff, yeah. As well as like dominating Hong Kong cinema in the 90s.
It's not Michelle Yeoh. Who am I thinking of? Melinda May. Who is that? The actress who plays
Melinda
May.
Yeah, I forget her name.
Because she is also in everything. But I don't think she's been in Bond.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Point being, we like Michelle Yeoh.
Michelle Yeoh's great.
But yet, it won't be enough for Randy and I to watch Witcher. No. Nick was going to watch Witcher anyway. Nick, are you happy to hear that Michelle Yeoh is in it? Do you like Michelle Yeoh?
I love Michelle Yeoh.
What if Nick was like, I'm not watch The Witcher because Michelle Yeoh is in it.
She left a dying Star Trek franchise to go to something better.
I don't know if it's a dying franchise.
No, the third season was super boring.
I mean, you might not like it, but I think it's doing all right. They're only launching 800 series now.
Isn't she still getting her spinoff, or is that not happening?
As far as I know, it's happening, but it sure does seem to keep getting delayed.
Okay. Yeah.
So if at some point they say the Section 31 show is not happening, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
I would only watch the Section 31 show if David Lynch was directing it.
Or starring in it.
And directing and starring.
That'd be dope.
Misha Green, who is the showrunner of Lovecraft Country.
Yep.
Which recently was canceled.
HBO decided not to do a second season, which apparently they were planning on doing, and then somehow they canceled it. Hilariously, HBO looks really stupid because...
Didn't it just get a bunch of
Emmys?
The
Emmys just came out. Yeah. Lovecraft Country is one of the nominations for drama. Has the lead actor in a drama series, lead actress in a drama series, and I think some of the supporting cast. It got a ton of nominations for them. More than any of their other shows, I'm pretty sure.
Can they backtrack?
I don't think they can.
It's usually what happens with HBO shows.
And Misha Green has signed a deal with Apple Plus.
Yeah, she's going to be fine.
Apple Plus is doing fantastic. They've got Ted Lasso, they've got Mythic Quest, they've got that Foundation series coming. They do a lot of good TV.
Yeah, they've got a couple of new shows coming up, that Keegan-Michael Key show.
Yeah,
Schmigadoon. Yeah,
Schmigadoon.
Is that really?
Yep.
Yeah.
The name of it?
Yep.
It's like him and like his...
Cicely Tyson from SNL.
It's like his wife get stuck in
a musical, basically.
You get stuck in a musical.
Oh, so it is like a spoof of the musical Brigadoon.
It is indeed yes.
Okay, I thought that might be the case, but I'm like, that's a deep cut.
Yep.
Yeah, Apple TV is like the fun HBO now. Right now, they deal in hardcore drama or very depressing shows.
Yeah, I agree. And I loved Lovecraft Country. I'm bummed they're not doing more. They're not doing more Watchmen either, but I was kind of okay with that, because I felt like that story
was
done.
Go out on a high note.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's essentially what Alan Moore did with the series, is walk away, never to touch it again.
And no one's done a Watchmen since then.
Except for all the miniseries.
Right, except for all the... And then Doomsday Clock, which brought in the DC Universe.
Yes.
And the upcoming Watchmen versus Looney Tunes, which I'm sure we'll see soon.
Rorschach versus see, Martian Manhunter.
Watchmen Hanna-Barbera. I want it to be weird. I need to see Dr. Manhattan versus the Herculoids. If I don't see that,
I said Martian Manhunter. I meant Marvin the Martian.
Yes.
Marvin the Martian Manhunter.
Manhattan's got his Citadel, and Marvin the Martian comes up and tries to blow. There's wacky hijinks. He tries
honestly,
to blow.
Probably be pretty funny.
I'd read it.
who's the guy who did the Flintstones one? Russell?
Oh, Mark Russell?
Mark Russell, yeah. He'd probably do some good stuff with that.
Bugs Bunny talking to Dr. Manhattan.
No, what if Alan Moore came back to write? He's like, it's the only thing I would write. I've just been waiting for them to offer me the keys to that kingdom.
I've always wanted to write Taz.
Dr. Sleep filmmakers are developing Something is Killing the Children.
Yeah, yeah, the hit comic from Boom Studios.
Yep,
Boom Studios. Yeah,
yeah, and rising star, pretty established star now, James Tynion.
Yep,
who's doing both, you know, strong work at DC as well as a lot of indie stuff. This is from what I understand. You say Dr. Sleep, that is Mike Flanagan.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he is, I believe, producing this.
Right. I think he's directing it, but it's the people behind it. It's not just him, but I think it's the people.
That is a good fit, I think, for Tinian's style.
For sure.
He has pretty nicely developed characters. These are not schlock horror things. This is kind of tends to be horror with some thoughtfulness and some innovation added to it. And that is, you know, Flanagan is probably best known, I think, to most people, not for Dr. Sleep, but for Haunting of Hill House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, so many people watch that on Netflix. And if you haven't watched it, you should watch it. But that seems like a good fit. I hope he is kind of, like, involved in it.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. I need to catch up on Something that's going to the children. There are three volumes.
Same.
I've only read the first one.
Just finished reading the third one the other night. It was really good.
Oh, there's a third one out?
Yeah, I believe we're waiting on it to come back in stock. So
you guys are waiting on your crazy... delightful hardcover.
Yes, I want to get a hardcover of it. Yes,
that has the first two volumes.
Yep,
I think
so. Yeah. Last bit. DMZ, the Brian Wood graphic novel, is going to be an HBO where they will do one season and then cancel it.
Well, it's set as a limited series. I think it's a four part
series.
Oh,
so it's Ava DuVernay and Robert Pattino. Pattino is the guy from Westworld. Ava DuVernay. I love Ava DuVernay's stuff in theory, but I don't think I've actually liked anything she's done.
Before we go further on that, let's just quick say DMZ was a story about a civil war in America.
Yep.
This is a topic that might have come up sometime in the last 4 years for reasons one can only imagine, probably Trump's insurrectionists. But anyway, the it was a good comic, had some amazing art on it, seems like a good fit for HBO.
Yeah.
I did wonder, though, because Brian Wood himself kind of got... called out as kind of a skeevy dude trying to, like, kind of manipulate and sleep with female fans a few years ago. Like, if that might actually impact its production.
This is interesting. Let me read you the synopsis for DMZ, the show.
Okay.
Because the comic was about this...
he was like a journalist or something.
There was a journalist who was, like, from a privileged family.
Yeah.
And he was, like, the white savior dude.
Yeah.
They seem to have deleted him. Nico is a foul-mouthed scavenger with a hankering for mischief, while Wesley's Athena is a calculating operative for the separatist Free States of America. Dun's Una is a powerful fixture of near-mythical stature who oversees an all-female commune, along with the most valuable currency in all the DMZ, the water supply. Susie has a revolutionary past. Cesar is a ruthless and devoted consigliere. Gunner's Rose, a jaded menick. There's a smuggler.
Now, those could all be characters that were... It's been a long time since
I've read it. No, these are all characters, but they don't have them... The main character's not mentioned anywhere.
Right. Sort of his Whitey McWhiterson journalist.
Says, basically, it chronicles the harrowing journey of fearless and fierce medic Alma Ortega to find the son she lost in the evacuation of New York City at the onset of the conflict.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh,
that gives it a more driving focus.
That medic was wasn't that a Christian Donaldson character that drew?
Throwing gasoline on the flames of that conflict is Parco Delgado. That's definitely from DMZ. It's by Benjamin Bratt. The popular and deadly leader of one of the most powerful gangs, the DMZ.
The demilitarized zone of the title was this like
it's
in and around New York or Manhattan?
It's Manhattan. It's all Manhattan.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting. They have deleted their white savior lead.
I think it's a good idea.
I think so too.
that sort of almost sort of seems to answer the any potential What I forget what the male Mary Sue is, but his Gary Stu or whatever of Brian Wood. So yeah, good call. I'd be interested to see it.
I don't know most of this cast. There's actors and writers have been added to the cast, and I don't know most of these names. They're from Queen Sugar and some other things that I haven't watched, but it looks interesting. I'm definitely going to give it a look. I hope it's good.
And it's going to be on HBO Max. It's not a traditional HBO Max. It's HBO Max.
Is HBO still a going concern? Like Succession is still HBO, right? Or are they transferring all that to HBO Max?
No. I think they're just kind of splitting things a little, focusing on different things.
I am seeing ads. I was watching something on YouTube and I kept seeing ads for Titans Season 3 on HBO Max. So all the DC stuff has made its way. It looks like they're doing Joker this season.
Well, I've been told they're doing the Red Hood storyline. That is to say, Jason Todd will probably die, and depending on, I don't know how they'll frame it, if they'll move the timeline along, but it seems like they're probably wanting to get to Red Hood.
It's too bad, because they're Jason Todd I really liked. I liked the little shit Jason Todd. I don't know that I want him to become Red Hood.
Well, he'll become a different kind of little shit. He'll become a big shit.
big shit Red Hood.
And hopefully Harley starts back up soon. I think
they're working on more.
Yeah, they are.
I think Dave is as interested in that as he is in the Witcher prequel.
More interested in Harley, honestly, for sure. Harley I liked, but I didn't really watch.
Yeah.
If somebody sits me down in front of it, I will watch it, though.
Okay.
I will go, yuck.
You mean not Brave New World, but Orange, what is the thing?
Oh, Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange style?
Yeah. But here's the thing, you don't even have to put on the Clockwork Orange glasses. You probably have to go ahead and tie down my hands.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if you got me a Dr. Pepper with a straw nearby, and I will watch it.
This is the commercial update of Clockwork Orange, where he's all in the machine, but there's someone like puts a Coke, and he like smiles. He have a Coke and a smile.
He's like, it's not so bad.
It's not so bad. I'm a droog. I'm a happy droog. I got a Coke.
The Clockwork Orange glasses are only for Dave watching Deadpool.
That's right. And by the way, I'll get out of the chair. That's the scene that they didn't show here. I'll be like fucking Marv from Sin City, and I'll break out with chunks of chair stuck to my arms and beat down my captors and escape and destroy Deadpool.
Alright, we're back in just a second talking about comics for the week. We're talking comics for the week of Wednesday, July 14th.
Yep.
And a lot of second issue, or not second issue, but continuing issues here. There's a new Joker issue, stuff like that.
There's a Spider-Man comic that I think, if we're right, is actually setting the stage for something quite notable.
Yeah, let's talk about Sinister War without spoiling too much about it.
Premise is sort of a battle between the Sinister Six, a classic Spider-Man bad guy group, and the Savage Six, a different group but led by the Vulture in this case.
The Vulture has put together a team of Scorpion, Tarantula, Cobra, Rhino, and Stegron the Dinosaur Man.
Yep.
King Cobra threw me a little bit. I was like, what is
all a little bit weird. Actually, there's a bit in here.
Wait, King Cobra is the guy who, but like, he's fought Cobra before.
He has, but not a lot. There's even a bit in here where Spidey,
he notes it.
Cobra tackles him and he's like, King Cobra, what are you doing here? We've barely even fought.
Yeah, I did enjoy that. there's a neat premise where it sort of kicks off. It takes place at the premiere of a movie that MJ is in.
Yep.
And Pete's there as her date, right? It's just her date.
Yep.
Some things go crazy. There's a big
supervillain throwdown.
There's at least one notable twist about actually relating to the movie itself.
That's actually been percolating in the background for a while now, hasn't it?
I think so, but honestly, I've been reading this for a while.
Well, and there was also that Mary Jane miniseries that focused on her shooting the film.
Right. This is all stuff leading from Spencer's run. But what I found, and Dave and I think both found this, it's very approachable.
It is.
Neither of us have been reading this.
Yeah, neither have I. I read it.
Yeah, you can just read it, and it's going to tell you everything you need to know. And I would kind of suggest reading it for two reasons. One is that it's a fun, lots of villains, big fight story. It's got Mark Bagley on art. If you liked him on Ultimate Spider-Man or a lot of 90s Marvel titles, that's pretty cool to see again. Yep. But then also, I do think this is going to lead to something big in Spider-Man, so you want to get in on the ground floor on that.
Yeah.
There's very little doubt based on what happens in it that I think that they're headed towards that.
Yeah, there's an opening page and a closing page to feature some other characters that seem like they're leading to a big Spider-Man thing.
Yep. Yes.
There's a new horror book from Aftershock called Beyond the Breach, written by Ed Brisson.
Yep.
I thought this was good, too. Dave, you probably know a little bit more of the premise because you made a sign for it.
Yeah, there's a lady who's, I think she's like 20-something, maybe.
She's basically, it opens, it's like three pages, and she's like basically yelling at her ex-husband who slept with her sister while she was dealing with her mother dying of cancer.
Her life's gone down the crapper.
And she's like heading out to the Redwoods to escape. Then there's this weird flash, and all of a sudden she's in the middle of this car crash, and there are monsters, and...
Right, so, like an idyllic drive through the Redwoods of like, California becomes this really weird, almost horror-type experience.
Yeah. It's a really good, like, opener to a horror movie, I feel like.
It feels akin to, like, Stephen King's The Mist, or... Yeah.
But there is, a little bit of, like... Sort of like, there's like some alliances or something like with one of the creatures, right? Or maybe it comes later. I know that that's kind of a thing in this.
Yeah.
So it's, it seems like, I don't know if this is maybe going to be thematically a story about how her, like, her kind of, like, awful life experiences in some ways prepared her for this, or that she will actually find that in the midst of all this horror, she can actually sort of thrive a bit, or maybe find something that'll help her through her life.
She befriends, like, a little Ewok.
It does look like a little Ewok. It's a little gremlinoid man.
Yeah.
But anyway, nice art and a good sort of horror opening.
It looks like there's some creature design that reminds me of BPRD and like the neat monsters of, who's the artist?
Guy Davis,
yeah.
Yeah. There is an original Alien one-shot this week called Aliens Aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it is for the 35th anniversary of the movie Aliens, the James Cameron 1986 one, sends the has a group going back to LV-426.
Yeah.
I have not read this show, so I don't know who's the group. Randy.
It looks like sort of like
some
rebels
journalists
against
or something.
No, it's
is it
rebels against the corporations?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I thought it was good, and then there is actually a tie-in to one of the characters from Aliens.
There is. Yes. Yeah.
So that was cool.
So if you,
I did notice that there's continuity between this and the other Alien thing. This is a one-shot, right?
Right.
Well, no, this
no. It's not continuity with the other series. It just has a similar theme.
But
there's continuity with the Aliens movie.
Oh, okay. I thought there was an actual crossover.
No.
No, and it looks like there might be a little bit more.
It's just a one-shot.
Is it? Because they're definitely...
Well, they show... That's Aliens number 5. There's an ad for Aliens number 5 at the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just an ad that, hey, by the way, if you like this, we have this whole other Alien series, you should read it.
Ah.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, it's a good one-shot. If you like Aliens, you can check that out. Mouse Guard is back after, I don't know, 15 years?
Yeah, and it's in the classic format, that sort of wider comic and that shows off David Peterson's art so well.
Yep. It's got a few different tales. There's an owl.
Yep. If you want to see, like, it's always cool to see him draw different sort of forest creatures in his fantasy setting. And if people haven't read Mouse Guard, it is a cool, like, it's in sort of in the style of the, YA books, Redwall, even if you just like Secret of Nim kind of stuff. Like, basically fantasy versions of little warrior mice and other forest creatures, in sort of a medieval fantasy setting. But... Yeah, I think any one of these, like, you could probably, like, walk in on any single issue of this and kind of just join in on the characters you're seeing, and if you like it, if you haven't read them before, there's some really nice collections out there. I don't even know if they're in print, but you could walk into this without having read them.
There's ads for them, so I think they're in print, or if they think they're in print.
Yeah.
But yeah.
He's a really impressive artist. I know he kind of came from printmaking and stuff like that, and anyway, his stuff looks very beautiful.
And then there's another Dark Horse book, Savage Hearts, which I did not get a chance to read. It's the Aubrey Citizen who did No One Left to Fight.
Yeah, it is like a sort of... I can't remember if it's full fantasy or if there's a little fantasy sci-fi. It looks pretty much like fantasy to me, flipping through. But I know it's got this, like, big, swole, barbarian warrior woman.
Yeah.
And kind of a skinny pan, like, goat god pan-looking dude who form an unlikely alliance, possibly. I don't know if there's, like, a romantic thing. I know he's definitely crushing on her. And it looks like it's kind of like slightly tongue-in-cheek fantasy. I think probably a main story that takes itself seriously, but some like a fair amount of incidental humor. Some nice art that definitely looks like it's influenced by Art Adams. and a swole barbarian lady fighter. So,
Donny Cates' Thor returns for another story arc. This has to do with Mjolnir not behaving.
Yep.
So it's nice to have that back. He's been doing focusing on Venom, so since I have that back. A lot of second issue of Scream, which is the Extreme Carnage crossover. They're going to focus on a different symbiote in each one. Second issue of War of the Bounty Hunters, although it has been crossing over to all the Star Wars books. This is the main story. This is a big auction between all the crime syndicates for Han Solo's corpse, and Boba Fett has to crash this big party. It's a super fun read. And then new issues of Spider Shadow, which is the penultimate issue of that What If Spider-Man Had Stayed Venom. Fourth issue of Batman the Detective, which is really good.
Yeah, a lot of stuff to like in that.
And the fifth issue of Joker, which is sort of a standalone flashback story with art by Francesco Francavilla.
And we all really like Francavilla, but it is probably important to know that it's not a change in the overall look of the book, which... who's the main artist on it?
Gillen March.
Gillen March, who really has defined a great look for it, that he's going to return and presumably and keep it rolling.
I thought Francavilla did a great job of sort of emulating Mazzucchelli.
Yeah, it's got a Batman Year One vibe for sure.
Also, the Black Hammer Visions anthology continues. Cullen Bunn tells the story of Cthulhu, one of my favorite Black Hammer characters.
And I would like to mention that the Batman Scooby-Doo Mysteries, the comic that they've been doing as a persistent crossover, focuses on the villain Black Mask in this one.
It's going to be interesting because he's been torturific for at all ages.
Yes, I did flip through it. I believe it looked like he was working with the Terrible Trio and was a much lighter-hearted version of the character. So it's going to be okay. But yes, in the actual comics, terrifying.
And then just the three X books that came out this week, X-Core, Way of X, and Excalibur. And then on the DC front, I'm really enjoying DC Infinite Frontier by Joshua Williamson. And I think
this kind of time or multiverse hopping sort of
book? Yeah, they even like explicitly show Morrison's multiversity with like some of the comic issues that they're holding. It's just fun. It feels very kind of all-encompassing of the DC universe. All the characters are back, including like Jade and Obsidian. And
who is your favorite character among them?
I mean, I like having the JSA back, honestly.
Yeah.
Alan Scott is a big deal, but also Cameron Chase is back with a vengeance and interviewing a bunch of people throughout the universe for Mr. Bones, kind of gathering intel. I don't know. It's just hitting all the right buttons for me right now.
Right.
A couple trades this week. Jed McKay's Taskmaster series. If you have a Taskmaster bug after the Black Widow movie, you've got this series that pits him against some of the super spies of the Marvel Universe, including Phil Coulson, Seth Gray's White Fox, and Okoye. And then Marvel's another line of their Marvel Masterworks Digest trades. These are cool little... they're like $16. They have 10 issues from the classic era. So this is like the first 10 Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I love reading that old stuff. It's just like the Spider-Man one they did. Great Lee Ditko here, or Great Lee Kirby. The other one was Great Lee Ditko.
Submariner, Doctor Doom, and Puppet Master all in these.
Plus, go read the story where Ben Grimm became Blackbeard the Pirate.
Yes, that is in here as well. All right, that's comics for the week. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about Black Widow and Loki. All right, so Dave has left us. He's not dead or anything. He's in the other room.
No,
Oh, did you kill him?
Yeah, I don't want to. Allegedly.
Spoilers. Oh, okay.
Someone did. He was dead when I got there.
So no one's watching the front, but Anna's in here to record with us.
That's true.
Or did you prop him up?
Yeah, it's like weekend at Rogues out there.
Weekend at Rogues.
We've got some ropes we can kind of manipulate his hands.
It's a combination Weekend at Bernie's Clerks thing. It's like note that says, please leave correct change.
Yeah.
It's stapled to dead Dave's chest.
I mean,
that's exactly how I mean, I don't mean to tell everyone exactly what happened, but that
that's
is exactly what happened.
So Anna's with us.
Hi.
Because she's going to talk about Black Widow and Loki with us, but before that, You had a comics addendum I think you wanted to mention.
Oh, yeah. Savage Hearts, which comes out tomorrow. It's by the writer who did another one of my favorite books recently, which was... oh my god, I'm blanking on it.
No One Left to Fight?
No One Left to Fight, thank you. Holy crap. It's like Neon, Dayglo, DBZ kind of
thing. Yeah, I was going to say Dragon Ball, Ball Z inspired, yeah.
Savage Hearts is kind of like a barbarian comic, sort of like with some romantic flair, and it is like earnest and delightful, and the art is beautiful, and also just like, I mean, maybe it was written explicitly for me, but it has this just like absolutely fucking ripped main character, and like she's not overly sexy. Like, she's allowed to be normal. It's good. It's delightful.
All right.
Liked it a lot.
So we're gonna give a spoiler warning for Black Widow. So if you've not seen Black Widow, what are you waiting for? Everybody else saw it this weekend. What's wrong with you?
Some people just have really,
I understand.
Busy lives.
People have busy lives. I have a busy life. I still saw Black Widow twice.
Yeah, but that's because you have, you have, like, normal people's priorities and then Marvel movies, like, maybe three steps above.
That is correct. Yeah. Yes. Yes, that is true. So yeah, we all got together at Nick's place and watched Black Widow in his delightful media room.
Yep. It was amazing.
And yeah, you made us popcorn.
I did.
It was amazing. And there was candy.
Yeah.
Like it was like a full on. That was better than going to the Alamo.
Yeah, actually, I'm never going to the theater again. I'm just going to show up at Nick's house.
Like, hey Nick, what do you got streaming tonight?
Tonight is Quiet Place 2, I believe.
Anyway, Quiet Place 2 at Nick's tonight. He's going to make popcorn.
Or Gunpowder Milkshake, whichever one.
Was that tonight?
I think it hits tomorrow, actually.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah,
it'll be fun. Is that going to HBO Max or you have to rent it?
No, it's Netflix.
Oh, nice. Oh, Netflix. Okay,
that's
perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, you told me, Nick, that Werewolves Within was available, but what you meant is available to rent for like $7, and I can't do that.
Why?
You can't rent a movie
for $6. $6 is nothing.
No, you don't want to go down that slippery slope.
I don't do the rental things. I either buy it or not.
You paid $30 for Black Widow.
But that's Black Widow. That's Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Not... Brandy, I'm sensing a double standard here.
Yes.
But I did also lay out the priorities hierarchy, so I guess it all makes sense.
It is really, it's a good thing that Disney doesn't listen to this podcast, because they're like, okay, making notes, we can charge whatever we want for Marvel stuff. Randy will
pay. Randy guy will pay $600 for a D-Man show.
Damn it, yes I will. If you promise me a 6-episode D-Man show on Disney Plus, I will hand you $500. I will hand you $600 cash.
I mean, honestly, that would be the cheapest production credit you could ask for, really.
Yeah, I will be producer of the D-Man show.
Truthfully, we're going to get a D-Man show at some point.
I mean, if they keep going down this route, yeah, I'm sure.
Seriously, they just send someone, they want someone intern says, hey, Kevin Feige said that the D-Man show can't go forward without $600 cash from you. It must be in crisp $20 bills, and you must deliver it to us wearing a bunny suit. I would be renting a bunny suit. That'd be true. And again, it is really good that Disney's not listening to this podcast.
Yeah. You'd have to like bounce in there and be I'd be hoppy if you'd make the D-Man movie.
I've got to get Easter basket. Exactly. Be in there.
Kevin
Feige has some weird kinks.
I'm assuming you're staying up till like 2:30 tonight to watch the finale of Loki, right?
I hadn't planned on it, but yes, probably.
I will not, but it's a good thing I don't work for the next 2 days, because it would be miserable trying to dodge spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Are you not going to watch it, like, Wednesday morning or anything?
I'm going to watch it Thursday night when I do date night with my girlfriend.
Oh, wow. That is some dedication.
Yeah.
Because my girlfriend, my wife knows, I am not watching that. I'm not waiting for anyone. I'm watching it.
Well, so I've waited to watch all of the episodes with her. I didn't tell her, and she doesn't listen to the podcast, so it's fine. I did watch one by myself because I was so excited. But yeah, I've waited for every other one. I've been
so
a
it's
decent,
good that it's good that your date. That your partner and Disney does not listen to this podcast.
That is true. Yeah, that's so very good.
If we should make a list of people who don't listen to this podcast, that list gets sad after we just keep going. Our list of people who don't listen is so much longer than a list of people who do listen.
So do we want to talk Black Widow first or
Black Widow?
Yeah.
So let's talk Black Widow first.
Okay.
I'm curious where you guys land on this. I come in, I didn't love it, but it's not that it's a bad movie. It's just not, it didn't hit the things I want from a MCU movie where I was like, oh, this is amazing. But I really liked it. I gave it like a 4-star rating on my movie app. Like
I did too.
I thought it was really, really good. But it didn't like hit the heights of something like, even something like Ant-Man that I was just like really blown away by. This was like, I guess kind of what I expected. A solid action movie with a good supporting cast.
Yeah. I have some pretty big opinions about it that maybe are a little too high-flying for just a bit on a podcast. But ultimately, I liked it.
How many stars does it get just for the Karl Marx tattoos?
Oh, man, that's like 12 stars. And seriously, it is like the best small detail in any movie ever.
It should actually just be one big red star.
It's just one giant red star.
Can we all agree that Florence Pugh and David Harbour kind of steal this show?
Oh, yeah, and honestly, Rachel Weisz, for all her small part,
she's
great in it.
Who was Rachel Weisz in the movie?
She's the mom. She's Melina.
She's the mom. Okay, duh.
So,
I mean, she's just an amazing actress regardless.
I didn't
recognize her.
I knew she was in it.
Yeah.
And so I recognized her when she showed up as the older. But I think they did the de-aging makeup in the beginning. I almost wondered if it's a different actress.
I don't know.
It's not.
Honestly, no, it must have credits. Because, like, that was a real young-looking David Harbour, too.
Yeah, I think they did the Marvel de-aging magic, which... By the way, they clearly have some kind of patent. I wonder if it's just real life. They can actually de-age people.
I don't think it's a patent. I think that they made a deal with a demon.
See, I was thinking they're probably like the robots from the Hall of Presidents.
Oh, no, this is like their...
So you think actual Mephisto?
Yeah, it's actual Mephisto who gave them a young David Harbour and Rachel Weisz clone to be in this movie, and then they just keep them, like, locked up in a storage closet at
Walt Disney. That actually tracks. You're saying that when they come to me for the D-Man money, it's going to be a clone of David Harbour who comes to me with his Russian accent.
Yeah, yeah.
You must give us $600 for your money suit.
Give us $600, please.
His Russian accent was pretty bad, but it was very entertaining.
It was delightful. I didn't even care how bad it was, honestly.
David Harbour is having the time of his life with this
movie.
He
is having so much fucking fun.
Like, I loved him in this movie.
I would pay $600 in a bunny suit just to see, like, maybe even 30 more minutes of him just trying to apologize and just fucking just completely pissing the
Just ask him on Twitter. He'll probably come and find you and do it, just because.
Like, David Harbour, can you please badly apologize to me for something that's not your fault? Just over and over again, that is what I want.
The runner of him talking about Captain America was really interesting.
Yeah.
So, that actually made me wonder, because, like, I mean, there are a bunch of people who've been Captain America, I guess.
Well, we don't know that in the
But in the
comics,
MCU,
yes.
In the MCU, there's only three.
Yes.
And I guess
that we know of.
Four, if you count shitty Captain America, aka US Agent. But, I don't know. I'm wondering if he was lying, because I feel like if you're a liar and you get called a liar, you don't get that mad about being called a liar.
I don't think so, because he asks Natasha if Captain America ever talked about
him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he fought someone dressed up as Captain America.
I don't think he fought Steve. I think he fought whatever iteration the government had put out there using whatever serum they had.
We know that they had Isaiah.
I thought they mentioned that he was before Steve.
That's in the comics. He was in the MCU. He was after, because he was in the 50s during the Korean War.
Correct. Oh, he was in the Korean War.
Yeah.
Okay.
Winter Soldier fought him.
Yeah.
He would have been in prison.
Yes.
But I guess that does establish a pattern of the United States government making Captain America be a thing.
The interesting thing is, like, if he thinks he fought Captain America, that means he fought a white guy. That means he did not fight Isaiah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that there are, like, four different Captain Americas we've never seen in the MCU. There's the guy who was, like, Jeff Mace.
They could go
William
crazy
Mayland,
and do, like, Jack Monroe.
Jack Monroe, who becomes Nomad.
Yeah.
There are other Captain Americas. There was, like, the anti-communist 50s crazy Cap.
Oh,
that's probably the Cap that he fought in that case.
But no, they're doing an 80s thing, so they'll have to introduce a new Cap.
Yeah.
Basically, an 80s Reagan-era Captain America.
Oh, man. Oh, man. That guy would suck.
Yeah, he'd be
just
the worst.
Just the worst fucking man.
He'd be terrible.
Oh, man. God. Oh, man. I want to see David Harbour's Karl Marx knuckles just deck that guy.
But... this is fertile material, by the way, for a Winter Soldier season 2. They are making a season 2, right?
We haven't heard.
I thought they had.
They'd announced it.
Because I feel like...
They've only revealed, like, up through, like, 2022 of, like, shows.
I heard a thing where they said they were going to make a season 2. Or was that WandaVision? Is all my fever imagination?
I think
this is
all my fever. Season 2 of WandaVision.
Yeah.
I don't think they are.
Okay.
All right.
I think all of these are sort of feeding into the next movie phase. I think the only one that they could potentially do it, depending on how it ends, is Loki.
Yeah.
But yeah.
More Winter Soldier, though. I mean, one of my disappointments about the Black Widow movie is that I was really hoping we were going to get some payoff to that line about her, are you going to recognize me or what? I was hoping we were going to see Black Widow surely interactive with Winter Soldier at some point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I want, I mean, we know that they had that she shot her.
Yep.
But, like, I feel like she knew him.
So I was talking to Dan Bird about this, because he came in, and I was like, well, Dan, I want to talk to you about Black Widow, because you're the only one, I think,
who's going to
have...
Whether you want to or not.
Who's going
to
have similar opinions to me. Actually, he's the one who actually started off. He was like, this is how I would have ended it. And at first, I was like, oh, this is going to be dumb and bad. Because everybody's opinion of, like, this is how I would have done it is bad, but that is not true. Dan is correct. But he basically...
D-Man comes in and joins her from the Thunderbolts.
Well, he was like, I would have liked it if, like, because they rewrote reality and they fixed everything, it would have been nice for me personally as a fan, and it would have felt good for the character of Black Widow to be done right, like Scarlett Johansson as Natasha, to be done right if she didn't have to stay dead and, in fact, got a happy ending.
Yeah.
Like, the end of the Black Widow movie's stinger is her... retiring to Thanos's like old farm or whatever that he kept to himself, just like she gets his retirement package, and it's just like either Steve or Bucky or someone just being like, well, here's the keys to the kingdom, you've earned your vacation, like you can.
But then she gotta eat space fruit all the time.
I mean, who doesn't want to eat space fruit?
I don't want to eat space fruit.
But my point is that it would have been nice for Scarlett Johansson to, and I perfectly understand seeing the way that she was effectively treated in movies and also on the back end for as long as she was, why she wouldn't want to come back.
Right.
But I think it personally would have been really, really nice if they had left the door open for, like, if you believe that we can do it right in the future, like, your character is still alive and you can come back.
I actually think you're right. I think that would have been a nice thing to do. But there's a question of whether or not that undercuts the gravitas of Endgame if all the deaths are undone.
Her sacrifice.
Yeah.
Well, I personally think that it's just explicitly very shitty that a lot of the permanent deaths, aside from Tony, were women.
Yeah.
And that their deaths served to make the men who were associated with them very angry.
It's just her and Loki, right? Wasn't it just
and Gamora.
Gamora's not dead.
The alternate universe Gamora is still alive.
Oh, okay.
But the Gamora from our universe is dead.
Oh.
The ScarJo from our universe is dead.
And so is the Loki from our universe.
And the Loki from our universe is dead. So I will, but Loki also
genderqueer.
Loki is arguably retroactively worse because they fringed their only explicitly queer character.
Pretty much all of Asgard is dead. They were a lot of men.
They are true, or that is true. But I mean, like, named characters. Marvel doesn't exactly have that many named characters who are women to kill.
I'm killed.
So they also come one of the few black characters.
One of the few black characters. Like, look, man, y'all are just making me angrier.
But they did kill Tony Stark, and you should be thankful for that.
I am thankful. I don't like Tony. He's no John Walker, but I don't like him.
For me, the Black Widow movie sort of retroactively makes her sacrifice even more, because
she gives up a family.
Yeah,
she sacrifices to save her family, and that's not just the Avengers now. That is actually her sister
and a family that they didn't even know about. Because Steve asks, or like somebody asked Tony or Bruce, like, asked if she had a family.
Yeah,
and Cap is like, yeah, us, because they didn't even know about this.
It's sort of like the Hawkeye personality where he just
he's got a family
and doesn't talk about it because that's the way they're trained.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and also it makes them safer.
Yeah, makes them safer. Although I don't want to mess with her family.
Yeah. Man, I loved all those. Florence Pugh is great as Yelena in the comics has been a little hard to pin down.
Well,
she started off as kind of this psycho who was trying to kill Natasha. Then the next time she shows up is in I think Richard Morgan's series or maybe one of the other ones, and she's like a Sharon, she's kind of like Sharon Carter in fact.
Bendis used her
Wheeler
poorly.
Dealer kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, they've never really known what to do with her in the comics. And I felt like this version of her was, as often with the MCU, the best version of.
Yeah.
Like, she's kind of snarky. She's a little bit fatalistic. Her old bit in the helicopter's like, this would be a cool way to die.
I mean, I feel like she, like, really taps into, like, I don't know how old the character is supposed to be, but I feel like she, like, really, in a way that basically, like, nobody else does, taps into the sort of, like, nihilistic sense of humor of, like, the millennial generation, sort of like, man, this is gonna be a fucking awesome way to die. And then, like, even, like, when she's about to have her brain operated
she's
on,
like, that's
just like, this
cool.
is much less cool. This sucks. I don't like this.
Her disgust of superhero poses.
Yes. Yeah. Hilarious.
Now, I will say, I do think that maybe your criticism might hold water if you don't also do a bunch of gratuitous butt shots and also have that character do a superhero landing.
That's fair.
But I understand it as a conceit of the genre.
Yes.
We also, but at that I mean, point, they don't just do the female side. I mean, we do have America's ass as well.
That is true. You're not wrong.
And Russia's ass.
And Russia's ass.
We do see him pulling himself into that costume.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot his
name. They go out of their way to show you his butt.
Man, I'm so happy. David Harbour gets to live his best life as the most attractive man in cinema.
Yeah. He's so happy when he comes to the costume still fits.
Somebody was like, David Harbour kind of overshadows the movie. And I didn't agree with that at first, but the more I think about it, the more I loved literally every scene he was in.
Yeah, he definitely stole some scenes. But I thought Scarlett Johansson was great as the sort of, like, it's not an easy role. She's got to play the sort of low-key, emotionally stunted secret agent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with... It's a lot easier to be the straight man when you have a colorful cast of characters being silly around you.
Yeah.
The number of times that she gets to actually be, like, sort of the crux of the joke by being the serious player. Yeah. Like, the family dinner scene where she's just, like, sort of like, oh my god, everybody shut up. Like, it's super great. And sort of, as the person who basically plays that role when my own family's being ridiculous like that, it's really nice to see.
I don't think she gets enough credit for her sort of wry sense of humor. Like, she's funny in the sort of, like, dark, fatalistic Russian way. Like, she does that throughout the movies.
Yeah.
I think people forget that Scarlett Johansson is actually a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
She has acting chops that... I mean, if you've seen Marriage Story, if you've seen... I mean, she was great in Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah. Well, I will say that if your only sample is the...
Black Widow.
Black Widow.
MCU, they don't, like, really give her anything to do except stand there and be sexy.
And I think she did... She's done good stuff. Like, she's great in Winter Soldier. Like, the bits in Winter Soldier where she's plays off... And that whenever you give her things to do... I think it's kind of like Chris Hemsworth and Thor. Hemsworth was always good. But in the early ones... In the early going... He was just kind of a funny meathead. There wasn't much to him. And then Taika Waititi came along, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, Hemsworth can be amazing. And then he did Ragnarok, and then Infinity War, and then Endgame, and they're all fantastic performances.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody needs to unlock it and figure. And I think the Black Widow mostly did that for Scarlett Johansson. They didn't give her a lot to do, but she got to really... Like, she got to really, like, take the main stage.
And I wish that they had, like, given her a solid script and the ability to remain in the franchise if she wanted it. Yep. And, like, let Black Widow be, like, the reason to see the movie. I would argue it's not. It's an ensemble cast that does really, really great together. And I think that the reason why they had to do this, that is because ultimately this is kind of a stealth pilot for the rest of these characters who are going to be carrying on.
I mean, it's definitely to bring Florence Pugh in as the new Widow.
Yeah, but like, I think it would have felt better to me, one, to see this movie 6 years ago.
Yes.
And two, for it to actually feel like you were supposed to care about Natasha moving forward.
Yeah, this should have been between Civil War... And whatever came after Civil War.
Yeah.
Endgame and that kind of stuff, obviously. But as far as, like, this should have been a post-Civil War movie.
Yeah, it should have.
And it would have worked. I mean, that's when it's set.
Yeah.
It should have been between Civil War and Spider-Man. I think it was.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But that said, if you slot into that time period, it works really well. The action sequences are fantastic. The motorcycle chase.
Delightful.
With the big armored vehicle that's like, they gave that some weight. Like, that thing felt dangerous.
It really does.
And, like, that's a really good scene. The fight scenes with all the widows were really good.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian helicarrier version of the Red Room was fantastic.
Super fucking cool.
I thought Ray Winston did a great job as being Dracov, this nasty general.
Yeah. Gross bastard,
we have a friend in Black Widow that I'm sure... assume is going to show back up with the agent.
Yeah,
or
Rick Mason.
Rick Mason.
That's a deep, deep cut.
I forget his name too. He's from The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, but he's really good. I like that. The other thing, Taskmaster. I've seen a lot of people really upset about Taskmaster.
So, I can understand why, because Taskmaster, he's got like a wry sort of sense of humor, right?
Yeah, I like Taskmaster in the comics, and I love his powers, and so in the movie, in the moment, I thought it was good. I liked the reveal. I liked the way they did. They made Taskmaster very dangerous, very Terminator-like.
Super scary, yeah.
Like, I loved seeing the moves. Like, I was watching it again last night, And when he's fighting her on the bridge, when she is fighting her on the bridge,
yeah,
she's using the sword and she does Ronin moves.
Mm-hmm. So what, like, I was actually going to say is one of the big disappointments I had is that David Harbour didn't see her catch and throw the shield and be like, fuck yeah, yeah, rematch.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think that that is the cool part of seeing Taskmaster is watching, like, almost shot-for-shot mirrors of these moves, which obviously is the power set.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that a wry sense of humor would have really undercut how scary they wanted that character to be.
I agree. I think that that's why they didn't do it.
And I think that if they reuse that character in, say, a Thunderbolts series in the future, it would be really, really cool to see her sort of develop more of that personality as, like a character arc. Well, sort of like reclaiming herself.
The thing in the comics is Taskmaster is a guy who basically, he's one of the few guys, he had this great mutant power, but instead of using it to, like, take on villains, for the longest time, he was just like a guy who trained minions.
Yeah.
His whole thing was he started a school to start to train mooks for other people.
Yeah.
And that's not this character's backstory. Now, they could go that way, especially since she came out of the Red Room.
I think they could. Yeah. I think they could tweak it and incorporate elements of it. And maybe she develops that sense of humor. And she can now that she is freed of her mind control. Maybe she is wry. Maybe she does have a more of a larger personality.
They can. I can say, if someone was a big Taskmaster fan, I understand being legitimately upset about this. However, how many big Taskmaster fans are there in the world?
I was going to say, while I understand why you might be upset, I don't understand why you're a big Taskmaster fan. I'm sorry.
And that's coming from me.
He does look cool.
With my D-Man fan.
Except for his stupid fucking boots.
No. Those boots are the best.
I thought the redesign
of the costume was pretty good.
I liked it too. The one thing I will say about they did a good job of showing, like, if you're a big MCU fan, you can spot all the stuff, like when he does the Black Panther pose.
Yeah.
And
Winter Soldier.
All the Winter Soldier stuff. Like, he is fighting, like, all these characters. And that is cool, but I wish they could have found some way to mix up the footage or something, so we see it, like, inside his camera, inside his helmet or something.
Like,
that would have
been. So that we could actually see a direct comparison so that everybody gets, oh, he's mimicking, because I feel like they underplayed that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and that's sort of, like, one of the things that I feel like, you know, like I said, David Harbour reacting to seeing Captain America. Like, that would have been, like, ideal, honestly, in Show Don't Tell.
Yeah.
For sort of relaying that the character does
have powers. I'm also not 100% sure that that's not a superpower.
Oh, I think it's in the helmet. I think it's...
See, and I think there were some biometrics and stuff, but they say she's a mimic.
Yeah, they say that she's the most gifted mimic that they've ever seen. I think that maybe the helmet just allows, like, the visor just allows her to have a more, like, intimate look at
it. So I think that we're getting, like, maybe the first...
I'm really hoping
some superpowers
or mutants.
We'll see. Because Taskmaster's a mutant. So.
I mean,
yeah.
Also Ursa Major did make a cameo in this movie.
So here's this brings me back to my gripes. I actually really like this movie, but some of the stuff that kept it from being a 5-star Marvel movie for me is I always want that moment. It doesn't have to be Cap lifting the hammer, but it can be like Falcon showing up in Ant-Man.
Yeah,
I wanted something. I wanted the reveal of the Winter Soldier backstory or some kind of link to... I wanted some other guest stars or something. And, like, there's so many places in here where we could have found out... Like, Red Guardian is the only Soviet super soldier. They don't tell us why. They don't tell us how. And the super soldier serum is supposed to be really hard to replicate. So we don't get any... we don't get any information on him.
No.
Like, they leave all that aside. We don't see her ever interact with any of the rest of the Marvel Universe. Like, it feels all isolated on its own.
Yeah.
And I would have liked this a little tied in some way back to the MCU, a little tighter, to really... I wanted some moment. Whether it's him... Whether it's a flashback to him fighting a Captain America, or some kind of thing where we see more than just... This could have been its own thing, completely outside the MCU.
Yeah,
and it kind of does, like... Ross and the Civil War stuff is just like a little bit of icing. Like,
I will say, Ross is not enough of a connective tissue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even fucking remember that role, honestly.
Unless he's going to be behind the Thunderbolts,
right? Which he probably
cool.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That said, on one hand, I understand exactly what you're saying, but it is nice to see, like, just Black Widow, just a supporting cast of characters that exist to build up Black Widow's backstory.
Sure.
That is at least one of what I would consider the positive steps of giving Scarlett Johansson the Black Widow movie that she probably deserved to have a long time ago.
There were also lots of little things that kind of showed the connective tissue to stuff that's been mentioned in the previous movies, like the Budapest stuff that Hawkeye and Natasha always reference.
The little arrows in the wall.
There's a Loki moment that we now understand in Avengers that
he's Dracov's daughter.
No,
they did take a little bit of those pieces, but I don't know. I feel like when she gets captured by Ross at the end, I thought, oh, we're gonna see how the Secret Avengers form. No, we don't get it. They passed up so many opportunities to show me a little more of the connective tissue, which is kind of what I want from each Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the difference between a Black Widow solo series in the comics and a Black Widow movie is that we only get two or three of these movies a year.
Yeah.
I want each one of them to give me some bigger building block of the universe.
Yeah,
that's true. Fair.
So I kind of missed it. Which is not to say, it's a great movie, it does what it does very well, and I understand the decision.
Did you like this or Captain Marvel more?
I think I like Captain Marvel a little bit more, to be honest. I haven't done my rankings yet, but Captain Marvel had Nick Fury in it, had the Cube, introduced the Skrulls, had introduced Monica Rambeau.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite characters, so the pieces of it there were big. I'm not a big enough Red Guardian fan. Now, if they had done, even just in the prison riot, if they had shown me Darkstar and Vanguard and Ursa Major turning into a bear, this movie would have gone up at least a half a star.
I think
a red star.
Same. One half of one big
one half
red
of one
star.
One big red star. Yeah.
Weirdly enough, I think that while I liked Captain Marvel quite a bit, the beginning with like sort of the Skrull Kree like politics and stuff, I can't be fucked with that.
It was slow.
It's a little muddy.
I will grant you.
I really like Captain Marvel. I also don't really like having to compare the only two female led Marvel movies. But like, I think I'm probably going to give it to this one.
Yeah.
Largely just because I think that. One, this one didn't make me feel ancient by calling it a 90s period piece. That was good.
That's fair.
Two, also, like, I just think that, like, seeing the family dynamic interact felt, like, a lot better to me. Especially, like, with stakes being what they were. Like, even their super soldier didn't seem to be bulletproof, considering how fast he was running away from being shot at.
Right, yeah.
Like, it felt a little more grounded in that regard, even though they were very obviously doing, like, some Fast and Furious flips and shit through the air.
Then the action sequences in this, that action sequence at the end where they're coming down from the blown-up red room.
So good.
I don't think I've ever seen anything done that that. The sort of 3D
really
element
cool.
of that fight was really cool.
Yeah.
It's the only thing close is the end of Spider-Verse when they're fighting in the middle of that falling apart dimension.
Yeah.
So that was really cool, and I did like that. The breaking him out of prison is super fun.
Every part about that scene, like from top to bottom, is like so. Like that Tom Taylor, when he talks about like his writing, where he's like, I like for every single page of a comic book that I write to keep you engaged. That scene, I think, was probably the most engaging for me. Like every single part of it had something that made me heavily invested in it.
Yeah, for sure.
Whether it was like the character moments or the way they behaved or quite frankly, the action is super fucking cool too.
Yeah.
But just the whole, that whole part of the movie was among my favorites from any Marvel movie, I think.
Yeah. I mean, this ranks relatively highly for me. I'm sure it's above like, you know, Thor 2 and some of those. But I don't know where it's going to rank. Like, because things like Guardians 2, which I know some people rank low, not Anna. Anna loves Guardians 2.
It's the best Marvel movie.
But Guardians 2 has so much connective tissue and so much character stuff that I love, and it's characters I already love. This was doing a lot of work. This had to establish a bunch of new stuff. This will probably sit above, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I think this will break into my top 10.
I don't think it's going to make my top 10.
I think so. I think that if they had allowed for the ending that I was talking about, this movie would have been significantly better for a lot of people.
Yeah.
If this movie had come in continuity where it is supposed to be set, I think this movie would have been better for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Seeing, I do think that the one major pitfall of this movie is that the lack of stakes and the lack of, like, staying power, like, really, really hurt it very badly.
It does.
When it otherwise would have been great.
We know she's safe. We know she's not going to die.
Until she's dead, and
until
then she doesn't
dead,
come
and then
back.
So, that robs it of some of its power.
Yeah.
And then we also know, like, nothing big and major is going to happen here that affects the Marvel Universe. I mean, the Red Room being destroyed is big,
yeah.
But even in the movie, they're like, she thought that was already gone.
Yeah.
So basically it's like, well, we reintroduce a threat and then we kill it, take it away again. It's like, yeah, there's not like a big, the stakes are very emotional. It's all about her,
yeah,
coming together with her family and that kind of thing, which again, you've already undercut because she gets maybe 2 years with them and then she's dead.
Yeah. And she doesn't even get 2 years with them, yeah, because we've seen the time that she spends on screen.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it's,
they could do a, I mean, they could do a sequel if she wanted to come back of her reuniting with them. Because there are years between that, like when she was with the Avengers on the run or whatever.
Yeah.
You could do, I would love for them to do a Secret Avengers movie where they show what happened in those 3 years they were on the run.
Yeah. Because obviously they were working with the Black Widows, because that, yeah, makes too, yeah, much sense.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah. But, I mean, she gets the jet for them at the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that's a little bit, it's like, the jet is the connective tissue, and I'm like, that's not as cool as a cosmic cube.
I guess that's probably fair.
It just isn't.
I will say, I think that if, I mean, it's comic books, I don't care if they just have to be like, boom, she's back, we'll explain it later, we ain't gotta explain shit, it's superhero stuff.
I mean,
if that happens, they
gave the gem back. They gave the,
yeah,
gem,
yeah,
back.
They, I mean, yeah, they did. So, I don't know. I personally, having seen this, I, as a fan, feel kind of robbed. Like, yeah, you mean I could have had this badass Black Widow movie, yeah, with her cool-ass family and all this badass shit going on?
Well, and that's one of the things that bugs me, is that if you watch the pitch meetings,
yeah,
they're funny bits where they sort of mock the movies and that kind of thing, but with a loving thing.
Yeah.
But they talked about, there's a bit where the guy's like, well, why didn't we make this movie 6 years ago? And he's like, oh, well, Ike Perlman, who's the head of Marvel, was saying that female-led movies don't make any difference. And then Wonder Woman made all this money. And then I'm like, oh, man, that sucks. I hate that.
It does. It really, really
sucks. I hate that. And it's like, yes, I'm glad they finally did it, but it does suck that at any point that guy was in a position of power to say, no, we don't need a Black Widow movie. Nobody wants that. When,
yeah,
the fact is clear, everybody wanted it.
Yeah. And not only that, it's just the fact that that kind of shit is...
Yeah.
And I don't know for certain. I don't mean to speak for her, but I can't imagine wanting to come back to
that work had to have trickled
in
down
that
to
environment,
her, yes,
right?
For sure, yes.
So...
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sucks.
And well, it's a little frustrating because we can see... it, as much as it's all really good, there's lost potential there because of,
yeah,
the way it's placed.
And also, I mean... we've seen her say that she doesn't want to come back and,
yeah,
do more, but honestly,
we've
seen Natalie Portman say that she was done,
yeah,
and not going to come back.
Done too.
And then she's like, "Oh, wait a minute, Taika Waititi wants,
yeah,
to do."
Yeah.
So I think they're in a perfect storm.
Maybe
Scarlett Johansson,
yeah,
will come back and,
yeah,
do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it'll be a big reveal in one of the next Avengers film that she's,
yeah,
still alive, and they'll,
right,
do a story like in the comics where she's a clone of herself or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I can't write it off. This is a comic book world, like you said.
You're not wrong.
But for me, the Black Widow movie was like finding a issue that I had never read.
Yeah, I get that.
From,
yeah,
from years,
yeah,
ago, and I'm like, oh, this is a really cool issue. I like what,
yeah,
it did.
Yeah.
And...
Well, that's... I think for me it's similar, but as I prep for my other comics podcast, I've been reading all the Black Widow stuff.
Yeah.
And I read the Richard Morgan stuff. Which they did some really cool stuff with Black Widow that never gets mentioned again.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what happened in the comics, and I'm worried that's what happens in the movies.
What happens here?
Is like, here's a cool setup that we're never gonna touch.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't just want a cool standalone. I want more.
Yeah.
And so, but I liked it. I bought it for $30 on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's not $600 in hoppy money, but it's something.
And you'll probably rewatch it a couple of times.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, I will say that, like, I've watched most Marvel movies, except for Guardians of the Galaxy 2, one time. This is one that I could see myself easily watching again.
I don't even know how many times I've watched certain
ones.
I've
watched them so many times.
Yeah.
I know you have, because
I've watched Thor 2 like six times.
I watched Winter Soldier.
What is wrong with you?
I watched Winter Soldier in the theater like four times.
Oh, yeah,
oh
I think
my
I did
God,
too.
Y'all
I saw it a lot.
So much more tolerance for movies in general
I think I saw Endgame four times in the theater.
Actually, I guess I did watch Avengers, the original Avengers, like maybe five times, because just several groups of people constantly wanting to see it and inviting me, and I was like, yeah, it's a great time, I'll go see it again.
Avengers came out when I was doing chemo, and it was like comfort food for me, so I watched it over and over again during that time. So, and then Endgame is also just like, Endgame came out right before COVID, and so I watched that a lot as comfort food.
Yeah.
So yeah, those both resonate for me a little more. But Winter Soldier, like, I'll watch that at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
I've watched Ant-Man a bunch of times. It's super fun. Like, I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I'll rewatch this one as well. I know that I really liked it. All right, do we want to talk about Loki?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Loki.
Because, honestly, Loki is quickly becoming... It's, like, eking into the top five for me.
If not for the fact that I love the Cap and Winter Soldier stuff so much...
Yeah.
This would easily be my favorite Marvel series. I just still, objectively, if someone says Loki is the best of the three Marvel series, I couldn't argue with that because this fifth episode was amazing.
I just want to tell them to keep doing Loki for a while.
Yeah, I know, right? Six is not... Like, I'm of two minds. I love a good ending. So I'm glad that we don't have to keep wondering, oh, well, where are they going with this? We're going to know in 2 days, or today, really.
Yeah,
essentially.
What happens and what's the end result of it?
Dear God, I'm going to have to turn off social media tomorrow. Yeah. Because I'm not going to get to watch it until tomorrow night.
But
I don't envy you.
At the same time, I want so much more of this because it's so much fun.
Well, and I think this is, I mean, it's almost the same thing with Black Widow where it's like you have these supporting characters like Loki, I think, really came into his own as something that I give a shit about in Thor Ragnarok because somebody had the key to unlocking this character's potential on screen.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm also of the same mind where it's like, I want there to be a finite end for these characters because these actors do deserve to rest and I want to see other stories.
Right.
But it does suck that the best of the stories are coming at the tail end of a string of just basically bit appearances that I feel like don't quite do the character the justice that I want to see done.
I actually thought Loki was great in Avengers, like, from the outset.
He was great in Avengers, but, like, they use him a bunch of times in, like, silly little bit roles. I mean, like, in Thor the Dark World is not a good movie.
But he's the best part of that movie.
but it's still, even then, he's not a particularly interesting or likable character, with the exception of his, like, one little bit where he's imitating Captain America. But, like, yeah, I am loving this series because I'm sort of getting to see Tom Hiddleston just sort of, like, throw everything into the role.
Yeah.
And he is relatable, and he's likable, and he does the thing that I really, really like, which is assholes who are just sort of, like, at first being dragged into being a decent person.
Yeah.
Who then, like, ultimately sort of morph in their own weird way into trying to be better.
See, this is a trick. This is a magic trick for me because I loved Spike on Buffy until they made him an anti-hero, and then I hated him. I want my villains to be villains. And for them to pull this off to a point where I, like, not only do I like Loki still as a bad guy, but I like this kind of reform, and I care about this sort of reformed Loki, that's really tricky, and they've done it successfully because I love this Loki. I love that I love the bit where he has a hug with Mobius.
Yeah,
like,
very
I did not
cute.
Expect that to affect me, but it was really good.
Yeah. Really, really liked that.
Yeah.
I mean, Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston have a great chemistry.
But
they really do.
But, and much as I love Owen Wilson, I love Tom Hiddleston, I actually really like the woman they've got playing Sylvie, but this is Richard E. Grant's show.
Oh.
It's him and that alligator.
Man, it's so funny because, like, when I saw the stinger at the end of, was it the fourth episode?
Yeah, fourth episode. Yeah.
So for me, the thing I was most excited about was seeing Kid Loki.
Yeah.
I think it's probably no secret, and I've talked about it on the podcast a lot, I fucking love the Young Avengers.
Yep.
And I also just really like Kieran Gillen as a writer, and I think that him handling Kid Loki in his run on Young Avengers is, like, some of my favorite comic stuff. So seeing Kid Loki and, like, knowing all the other pieces of the Young Avengers they put together, that, like, blew me away.
Yeah.
But it was Richard E. Grant playing classic Loki in the next episode that, like,
so
made me fall in love.
His whole bit where he, like, summons Asgard to distract the thing.
I talked about this with one of our other customers, Jerry, who I was thinking, it is so fucking cool seeing Loki be a badass sorcerer.
Yeah.
Like, he is an illusionist. He is a powerful, like, basically magic user.
And I love that they did it. He's like, yeah, I don't use blades. It distracts from the magic. Like, I thought that was... They did such a good job of each Loki is different. Like, Kid Loki killed Thor.
Killed Thor.
I mean, yeah, he's probably teenage Thor. It's probably pretty easy. Because he's pretty dumb.
It's like teenage Thor. He's like maybe 18. He's just gone on a bender, and Kid Loki's like, oh, this is my time.
Do you think in that timeline he just turned to a snake and bit him, and Thor was just too dumb and died? He's like, well, that was supposed to be a joke, but I guess I killed Thor. I guess
prank.
I'm king of Asgard now.
It's just a prank, bro.
I also love their president Loki for a short the time.
He, oh my god,
it was so much fun.
That like that the alligator Loki did not like president.
No,
Loki.
He did not. I thought he seemed delicious.
That series of like that scene, like where it's just like, ha, I'm betraying you, but ha, I'm betraying you.
Yes,
just like three or four of those in a row. Yep. I was like, it's gonna stop being funny soon, but it never did.
Nope.
Yeah, that all was amazing. There's all this. And then, of course, the Easter eggs, like, they showed us the Thanos copter.
Yeah, the Thanos copter, the stupid thing.
Throg.
And then Throg.
With the Mjolnir.
Trying to get the Mjolnir, yeah.
Did you know that Chris Hemsworth actually voiced Throg?
What?
Yeah, he's got a, like, he's actually talking when he's trying to go for the Mjolnir.
Oh, is he?
It's Chris Hemsworth.
Oh,
that
that's
is so delightful.
Oh, that's
honestly,
so good.
Chris Hemsworth playing Throg, like, that is exactly the kind of thing that I bet that guy would just go nuts for.
Yeah. I mean... We haven't really... He's been referenced now, and now we've seen him. It wouldn't shock me if Throg is in Thor, Love, and Thunder. That seems right up Taika Waititi's alley.
Yeah, I mean, it does.
Also,
I mean,
that leads to... Because I know, as much as you love the Young Avengers...
Yeah.
Our former staffer Amanda loves pet Avengers on that same level. Like, she wants Throg and Lockjaw and Miss Lion and Red Wing... She wants that Pet Avengers, and I'm like, there's no reason they couldn't do a Pet Avengers cartoon.
Well, Red Wing is a robot.
He's a
robot. But they could do a Falcon Red Wing. I mean, they could absolutely do it.
Yeah.
Actually, if they did a thing where Red Wing was, the drone Red Wing was in the Pet Avengers,
I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
I mean, on one hand, I would really like for them to, like, move away from the, like, faux realism, like, militaristic stuff, and, like, just straight up give him a Falcon.
And whatever ant that Ant-Man decides to name.
Right, yes.
Yeah, but on the other hand, the idea of, like, Antony, or, I guess Antony's dead, but whatever his new ant is.
Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas, and... I mean, I guess technically they had Lockjaw, but I think they're going to disavow all mentions of that.
If they'll do Lockjaw and Miss Marvel.
That would be delightful.
Because Lockjaw would be great for Miss Marvel. Lockjaw's great in Miss Marvel, and I hope they do it.
Everyone is very hush-hush on her origins.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't know if they're going to...
I don't think they're going to do Inhuman.
I kind of hope that they just make her, like, a mutant.
Yeah.
And that she's part of the...
But here's the thing. I just want them to just disregard all the Inhumans. I like the Inhumans. They can, they're going to make the Eternals interesting. They can make the Inhumans interesting.
So here's my theory, and I don't know that they would do this, but the Eternals and the Inhumans are very similar.
Yeah.
They could make her an Eternal offshoot.
Yeah.
And then they could bring in Lockjaw as an Eternal, and they could basically do all that stuff without having to reference all the TV stuff.
I mean, I agree.
Okay, but also hear me. I guess isn't Cannonball... Also,
he's an external.
Sorry, my bad. I mix up my stupid Marvel.
Yeah, we're not there yet. Hopefully, the externals don't show up.
The externals is going to happen in 2050 when there's everything else has been done.
Look, I just
if Gideon starts showing up on the screen. We're in trouble.
Yeah. I just desperately want that New Mutants movie to have those. Like, they don't even have to continue the red lines. I just would like to see those actors get a shot. Maybe for what's his name to actually do a Southern accent. But gosh, I don't know. I mean. I'm really, really looking forward to the payoff of the Loki series,
yeah,
which is like the explosion of this multiverse stuff.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah. Well, and I'm, I mean, honestly, if it's not, I'm sort of just going to be like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
I mean, I don't want to like give, I mean, everyone kind of always thought it was Mephisto and WandaVision, so a lot of people are kind of like not going to put money on things, but
it's got to be Kang.
I mean, unless they decide that some version variant
or,
of Loki
I mean,
has
they do
beat
Immortus,
the system.
Oh man, if they do a crazy version of Loki, that'd be cool too.
I think actually I would find that much less... Well, okay, so... Oh man, you can just see the wheels turning in my brain. Okay, so hear me out. One, I do think that would be cheap. However, the one way that I think they could make it good is if it's sort of like a, not self-referential thing, but like in a way like meta of like... Yeah, Loki, you are in your own fucking way.
Yeah.
Just, like, be make the decision to be a better fucking person and just do it.
Yeah, if there's a Loki at the end of time who basically has been shutting down all the Loki variants because he didn't want to deal with competition, that would fit the themes of the series very, very well.
Yeah. It would.
But also, all these Marvel shows are also forwarding stories.
Yeah.
And I feel like Kang is... They made so many damn nods to him in this last episode that if they... It just feels like it has to be.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Immortus would make sense too because that
Immortus
fits into the Kang thing.
Yeah. But I don't know. We're again at a point where I don't know what the ending's going to look like, and I'm very excited by this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I will say that, like, as they have moved away from, like, the faux realism of, like, a lot of this stuff, like Iron Man, for example, like, they try real hard to, like, make it rooted in reality, yeah. even though it's obviously fantastical. I find myself so much more invested because they are managing to strike a balance between, is this comic booky and is this too much for our audiences to handle cold?
Right.
But they are slowly moving towards the point where everything that happens is slightly more off-kilter than the last thing.
Episode 5 of Loki had very multiple Lokis, weird. An alligator Loki, a Throg, and a Thanoscopter.
And like, that excites me.
You don't get much weirder than that. Like, I thought Rocket Raccoon was pretty far beyond the pale, but
yeah.
this is way further beyond. Like, and people are still... I mean, the nice thing is, Thanoscopter was just an Easter egg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good at knowing what should be an Easter egg for the fans, and what should actually be developed.
Yeah.
And I'm a little worried they're going to think Throg is only an Easter egg, because Throg should be developed, but... But they're clearly not afraid to, like, do this weird stuff, and it's fun.
I mean, I'm excited for the shows that are coming after it. I mean, yep. we're going to get Hawkeye.
We're supposedly Hawkeye and Ms. Marvel are this year.
So what if Hawkeye and Ms. Marvel?
That's what we've heard.
That's the list.
No, it's not a what if Hawkeye and Ms. Marvel. They're happening for sure.
What if Hawkeye is Ms. Marvel?
And then next year, She-Hulk...
She-Hulk, Moon Knight.
And I feel like there's one more that we know, right?
So, yes, there's She-Hulk, Moon Knight, Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion and Armor Wars.
Ironheart, Armor Wars. Those are all
on
the
list. Ironheart show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've already cast her. By herself?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes me so happy.
But we don't know if that's all next year.
Right.
That'd be wild if that was next year.
But, I mean, they've got six more shows in development. Secret Invasion, Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Ironheart, Armor Wars, and wherever Blade is going to be.
And I think Blade's a movie. I don't think it'll be a show.
It may be. I don't know.
And then movie-wise, it's Shang-Chi and Spider-Man this year,
Shang-Chi,
right?
Shang-Chi, Eternals, and Spider-Man this year.
Oh, right. We've got three.
Next year is Thor, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, The Marvels, and then the year after that, Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, Fantastic Four.
I will say that with the exception of the Fantastic Four, who I could take or leave, but I understand
it's
the necessity.
Be so good.
I
it's
understand
be so
the
good.
Necessity to have them if you're going to do Kang as your big bad. But like, this is sort of the comic book stuff that I actually give a shit about. Like, I feel every time they announce a new thing, probably I guess the way you felt when they were like Iron Man 2 is coming out.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm actually really excited because I haven't been Marvel movie fatigued because, for the most part, like, I didn't get excited about hardly any of these.
Yep, well, just wait until 2024 when they announce Young Avengers and what else are they definitely setting up for?
I'm gonna go fucking berserk.
Yeah.
Thunderbolts, yeah.
Thunderbolts would be super cool. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I will jump around in a bunny suit for a Young Avengers movie.
$600 cash.
$600.
Right to David Harbour.
I wouldn't be shocked if there's a few surprises and, like, they slot in a Thunderbolts movie during this timeline.
I don't think so, because they've been doing three movies a year.
Well, this year there are four.
This year's four, but there was a pandemic. But I think they may stick... If they stick to that three movies a year...
So that's four
that means,
movies and six... television series?
Yeah, they're in four movies a year, and I think it's... Or three movies a year, and I think four TV shows. Because this year, we're getting like six.
Yeah, so it's
but bad. I guess that was supposed to be... That was 2 years worth.
Also, like, the Thunderbolts has... Not historically, but, like, the more modern incarnation of the Thunderbolts,
yeah.
they're like a team of villains.
Yeah, well,
with, like, one good guy wrangling them,
that's
right?
That's always what... It started out as villains posing as heroes.
Yeah.
Yes. But then it slowly morphed into, yeah... A hero. It was Hawkeye first, but someone who's like wrangling the villains.
Luke Cage did it for a little while.
Then Luke Cage did it.
Yeah,
and they're redeeming them. And now that seems to be they've definitely swung into more of like a straight up Suicide Squad riff.
Whoever also Contessa is working for.
Look, yeah. Hear me out. You have John Walker being the quote unquote good guy,
yep.
who is unlikable enough to make all the villains likable.
Right.
And then you have, I mean, how many villains who people like actively? I guess maybe Taskmaster is
yeah.
a good one.
Taskmaster's likely. Black Widow, the new Black Widow.
Loki. I mean,
I don't see them putting Loki
you could
in
totally
Suicide
do
Squad.
It. Well,
but I could see Abomination.
They don't necessarily like. I mean, like a straight Suicide Squad riff might suck, but like at least all of the characters that like I mean, heck, even what's his name, Daniel Brühl.
Oh, Zemo? Zemo's definitely going to be involved.
Yeah, Zemo, like, all these characters, like, they are... They have motivation that I could very easily see being used as sort of, like, relatability to an audience.
They could bring in Ghost from Ant-Man Wasp. Ghost. Like, they've got... And Ghost was actually in Suicide Squad. Or not Suicide Squad. Thunderbolts, which...
Yeah.
It really is, like, it became their Suicide Squad.
Yeah. But I think it would be dope.
They've got enough characters right now to do it. And I have a feeling they're going to do more. But Young Avengers, they put so much of that in place, they've got to be building to
it. If they're not doing a Young Avengers, I'm going to cry.
They're just teasing you.
Yeah.
And they have pretty much every member except for Iron Lad.
Iron Lad, who's
Iron
Lad's
the only one. Yeah.
Do they have everybody else?
They have...
they don't have Hulkling and Wiccan yet.
They don't have Hulkling. They do have
Wiccan. Wiccan. You're right. They
have Wiccan, Speed...
Stature.
What's his name?
Yeah.
Patriot?
Yeah.
America Chavez. You know who they don't have?
Yeah.
They don't have Marvel Boy from Kieran Gillen's
run. So here's
run
the thing.
Young
You're
Avengers.
Thinking of a different Young Avengers.
Yeah.
I'm thinking
what
of the original one.
They have... Well, but America Chavez wasn't in the original one.
No, she's not.
Look, but... Also, Miss Marvel, who technically is the Champions, right?
Yeah, but
you could
I wouldn't
totally
surprise
put her
you
in
throw
the
her into the Young Avengers.
Like, give me Marvel Boy on screen, and I will do... I will be your wet work person, Disney. I will topple governments for you.
They're pretty good at that, though.
They're like,
they're no
bitch,
Nestle,
we don't need
but,
her.
I think Hulkling is almost certain to show up in Secret Invasion.
I mean, how can
it's
you
It's all
not?
Skrulls, obviously.
Also, I mean, like, they... I'll believe it when I see it, but they have promised that this is going to be their more queer friendly, their more diverse group of superheroes. And straight up, I mean, I ultimately don't think you can do a Wiccan story without Hulkling.
No, you
they're
have
like
to.
So intrinsically tied.
Yes.
And quite frankly, there are a lot of other characters that I feel that way about that they have done well with doing in the past, sort of cutting that, just sort of cutting that out for a foreign market. But I will feel deeply betrayed if they do.
Yeah.
that is one thing that I will say for like the New Mutants movie. As much as I thought it was sort of middling, it won all of the eggs. It won my big red Russian star for having like a queer relationship be like the focal point of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was the chief romance there.
Yeah.
And I would like to see the company who can definitely afford to take the hit do that.
Yeah. Disney seems like they're doing okay for money.
Yeah. They're not in any danger of starving over there,
no,
I don't think.
No. Especially now they got the Disneylands open again. Just a money factory.
Yeah. They are printing money.
All right, well, that'll wrap it up for us this week. We'll be back more next week, and until that time,
Yo, Joe.
Which, by the way, pretty soon here, we're going to launch the other half, a G.I. Joe podcast, which is me and Dave and Anna going issue by issue through G.I. Joe. We are up through issue 8 in our recordings, I think. Seven?
We're up through issue 7.
And so, should be the next week or two, you will start seeing, we'll probably put it in our Roguecast feed as well.
Yeah,
so stay tuned for that.
Roguecast is a weekly podcast broadcast from Rogues Gallery Comics and Games in Round Rock, Texas. You can find us online on Facebook and at www.roguesgallerytx.com and email us comments or questions at roguesgallerytx@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.